In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today is the day that we have to remember. Out of all the writings of Louisa on today in Volume 17, May 4th, 1925, can you just tighten that up? Thank you. What God has given to us is the if we understand Volume 17, May 4th, 1925, what will happen is you will begin to understand the importance of Louisa. So if you look at the banner over here, that's the date. 94 years ago, our Lord showed Louisa what the Father wanted. If you understand Volume 17, May 4th, 1925, if you really study it, you will never put down the books of Louisa Picaretta. So today we're focusing on part three of Louisa and the Resurrection, or Rising in the Divine Will. And this is something else to pray about. Mel Gibson is beginning to do the movie, The Resurrection of the Christ. And he said on television, we want to do this, but we don't know exactly how it's going to work. With Louisa and the Resurrection, it's very clear how it's going to work. So pray that, you know, when we read this, when we study part one, part two, part three of the Resurrection, that this will get on screen, because this is it's more magnificent than the Passion of the Christ. The Passion of the Christ, Jesus says, is everything. When Christ redeemed us, it is everything. And now, Jesus says, I'm getting ready not only the Passion of the Christ, but the Resurrection. And he says to truly be resurrected is to live this life, this divine will, before you die. And if you're waiting for resurrection after you die, He says it's not what God wants. So why we're focusing on this is it's really a new beginning for the church and the world. It's a brand new beginning, and there's so much that's happening that as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, God begins to transform our families, our nation, and the world, and even the church. The repair of the church is going on at this point. So, where it will begin in Volume 20, 9:20, 1926. My Jesus, my love, the day is now beginning. In your holy divine will, I, Louisa, want to make my round through all the creatures, so that in rising from their sleep, they may all rise in your holy will, to give you, Lord, all the adoration of all the intelligences, all the love of all the hearts, and rising of all their works and of all their beings into the light that this day shall make shine over all generations. So you can see here this repair is what's happening, this repairing and redoing in the divine will. And this is what we pray. When we pray, Jesus says to pray in the divine will is to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You know, what we've learned over the centuries is how to pray for our families, our friends, our neighbors, our nation, our country, the world. Jesus says, I want more than that. And how can we do more than that? And it's to pray the way Jesus prayed. It's to pray the way the Blessed Mother prayed. You know, today is day four of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. And Our Lady is teaching us through Louisa how to live this life. This is what's so important for us to do, is to begin to understand we're not learning this from a saint. We're learning this from Jesus, the Son of God, and Mary, the Mother of God. We're learning how to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, that Jesus and Mary taught Louisa how to live. And so, what a glorious time. So, Jesus shows us this with Louisa. Listen, my Jesus, my love. That's how we talk to Jesus. You, Jesus, my love, my life, my all. We have to understand that Jesus is everything. And when we enter into this gift of the divine will, we fall more in love with Jesus. We fall more in love with the Blessed Mother. Jesus, my life. Jesus, my life. Jesus, my all, my love. You are the one that I adore and love and praise and thank. And this prayer that we begin is the way Jesus prayed to the Father. It's the way Mary prayed to the Father. It's to begin to pray, not in a saintly way. We love the saints. We love Saint Teresa. We love Saint Francis. We love Saint Ignatius. We love the saints. But it's a saintly way of praying, a human saintly way of praying. Jesus is now saying to us, I want you to pray divinely. How can we pray divinely? Only God can do that. And God says, that's right. Only God can do this. But he wants us to share in his divinity. When the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice every day, that's what he says. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This is not the holy humanity of Christ. It's sharing in the divinity. This is why God created us. He wanted, when he breathed into that dust, that in the beginning, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. People say, well, Adam came out of dust. No, our understanding of Adam is very limited. When we recognize what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And when he sinned with the original sin, he lost that. And that's why we're here at this point. We're in a body that has to die. That's not what God planned. When we talk, we misunderstand each other. Why? Continuously, because we're all in our own thoughts and our own words and our own deeds. We're focusing on ourselves. And that's not what God wanted. It's to let God reign in us. God does the divine acts. So when we pray in the divine will, we pray like Jesus. He says, she says this, as the day is now beginning, and now in your most holy divine will, Louisa says, I want to make my round. And this, Jesus tells Louisa, from volume 16 to volume 36, I want you to learn to pray the round. Okay, he demands this. If you're not praying the rounds yet, and the wonderful thing we have at this point is we have the rounds of Easter, we have the rounds of ordinary time, we have the rounds of Advent, we have the rounds of Lent. As you enter into this, as you begin to enter into this life of the praying the way Jesus prayed, praying the way Mary prayed, everything changes. We begin to fall in love with God, and the confusion that's around us disappears. Why? We enter into this prayer life of Jesus, this prayer life of Mary. We learn the command prayer. I mean, like Peter walking on the water. A human being cannot walk on water. It's impossible. But what did he do? He said to Jesus, take my prayer and make it your command. And Jesus says he was getting us ready for the divine will. And when Peter walked on the water, a thing that humans cannot do, and then he started to sink, Jesus didn't say, good boy, you walked 20 feet and you sank. He said, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? So what Jesus is showing us is how to pray. Praying the rounds are so essential. And when you look outside, every leaf on a tree is an I love you. Every blade of grass is an I love you. Every grain of sand is I love you. You know, think about it. Say you're walking on the beach, and all of a sudden you look down and you go, oh, wow, what's this? And you pick it up, and it's a different-looking stone. God had that in mind for you from the beginning of time. It's not by chance. He loves you so much, He wanted to awe you with His creation. Now, what happens is, as you enter into the divine will, this is what happens. Everything becomes an I love you. You begin, He says, I want you to use your human senses to see God, to hear God, to smell God, to touch God, to taste God. And as Catholics, we already are beginning this. When we look at the host, when we look at the most blessed sacrament, that is God. We see God, and we fall on our knees to adore Him and to love Him and to praise Him and to thank Him and to bless Him and to truly worship Him. When we hear the gospel proclaimed, we hear Jesus speaking to us. When we receive the host, we taste God with the holy odor of sanctity through the incense. We smell the beauty of God. See, our senses begin to come alive as God wanted, in God's image and likeness. This is what He's waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. So this is what He says. This is what Louisa says. She goes, I want to make my round through all the creatures, every human being. And the church always teaches us this. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if you're alone in chapel and the monstrance is there and you're looking at Jesus, you represent all mankind. Now Jesus wants to expand that. He says, I want you to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. I want you to begin to pray the way I prayed. I want you to begin to pray the way the Blessed Mother prayed. How glorious is this? It's God isn't 1,000,000,000 miles away. He's right. He's with us. He's breathing in our breathing. He's beating in our heart beating. He's walking in our walking. He's talking in our talking. Jesus is present. This is what He's looking for. So He says, Louisa says this, as I make my round through all souls, past, present, and future, and in rising from their sleep, see what's happening, as we pray in the divine will, people are waking up. I remember Archbishop Casati said to us in 1997, he said, you've been promoting the divine will for the last 3 years in a human way, in a saintly way, in a good way. He says, but that's not the way the divine will is promoted. He says it must be promoted in a divine manner. So Jesus shows us what this means. As you make your round through all people, past, present, and future, they rise from their sleep. As you pray in the divine will, somebody in China begins to live in the divine will. As you pray in the divine will, somebody in South America begins to live in the divine will. Why? God's doing it. He's looking for the souls that are have a good disposition and want what God wants. So as they rise from their sleep, listen to this, they may all rise in your holy divine will. It's to go to your room, close the door, and pray. When you're working, you're praying your rounds. Whatever you're doing, you're learning how to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God as the saints do in heaven. To give you, Lord, all the adoration of all human intelligences. To give you, Lord, all the love of all human hearts. To give you, Lord, the rising of all their works, everything that they think, say, and do, and of all their beings into the light that this day shall make shine over all human generations. It's the beginning of a new era. Do you see what God is doing? He's given us the book of heaven. And a lot of people, you know, we've read a lot of books, and, you know, we read St. Faustina, and Jesus said to St. Faustina, you are my secretary. And they said, well, this is the same thing that Jesus said to Louisa, you are my secretary. No. Jesus says the book of heaven is the only book that will transform souls. He says this. So what are we asked to do? We're asked to focus on this gift. So as you're reading, Jesus is actually speaking to you. The Word of God is speaking these words to you that Louisa wrote down. Jesus is touching your mind so that you will understand this. He's touching your heart so that you begin to love this. This is the true life of Jesus. This is the true life of Mary. And the only soul that possesses it is Louisa at this time. But Jesus is offering it to us. So what else happens is this. He says, their rising of all their works, all that they think, say, and do, and all of their beings into the light of that this day shall make shine over all human generations. We're going to enter into the new day with Jesus and Mary through Louisa. It's not 1,000 years from now. It begins right today, if you wish. You begin to live a life without worry, without fear, without anxiety, without complaints, without negativity, without sin. How can that be? Jesus begins to live one with you. Mary begins to live one with you. How? Through Louisa, who possesses this life. Volume 23, 3:11, 19:28. My love, Jesus, my God, my all. There is no act that you do in which my I love you does not follow you. Think about that. You look at the leaf on the tree, and it's an I love you to us. We breathe that in, and we breathe back to God His divine I love you back. The waves against the shore, it's an I love you coming in, and what, the I love you goes back out. It's God is showing us why He created the sun rising in the morning and setting in the evening, and rising in the morning and setting in the evening. It's the I love you, and then the I love you. And then it's the I love you, then it's the I love you. The spring is the most beautiful time to really do your rounds. Every flower is an I love you to us. And Jesus says to Louisa, nobody recognizes my I love yous. So that's why we begin to pray the rounds, to recognize all the I love yous that are out there. But we're not supposed to just see or hear. We're supposed to taste and smell and touch these I love yous. It has to be, see, paradise is all I love you. And when you enter into paradise, all of creation tells you, I love you. All of creation gives the odor of sanctity saying, I love you. All of creation gives by its sight God's I love you. And He says, I want you to enter into this I love you. So who has done this? It's Louisa. My love, Jesus, there is no act which you have done, past, present, and future, in which my I love you does not follow you. Why? To ask you, by means of every act that you have done, for the kingdom of your divine will to come on earth as it is in heaven. That's our job. And if when we're focused on our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, when we're focused on the individual's misery, and everybody's living in misery, what happens is we're distracted from the I love yous. And again, misery loves company, and people want to share their misery with one another. What we have to do is we have to go beyond that to the I love you of God. And we have to begin to see and to hear and to smell and to taste all the I love yous around you. That's what the divine will is. It's entering into the I love you of God. There's no worry. Why? We had it, what, last week. Jesus, I trust in you. But more than I trust in you, I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. You are my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my God. You're my all. I trust you completely. I have confidence in you completely. So all of us are suffering, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, but it doesn't bring us down. Why? We believe in Jesus. And this is what happens. Everything that you've done, even in my own life through the sufferings, He says, I ask you by means of your acts that the kingdom be established on earth as it is in heaven. The earth is us. We're that dust. And we're saying to God, may you breathe in me that ruah of God, that breath of God that you breathed into Adam, so I can enter into the image and likeness of God. Not just to be good and holy and saintly, but to enter into divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass. We want to enter into this abundant life. That doesn't mean we become God. No. Adam wasn't God, but what God breathed into this dust was the image and likeness of God. What came out of the dust is the image and the likeness of God. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. We want God to breathe in us the way He breathed in Adam, and more than that, the way He breathed in Louisa. So Jesus is saying this through Louisa. She goes, I love you follows you, Lord, wherever, in the steps that you, Jesus, take, in the words that you, Jesus, speak, in the wood you, Jesus, hammer. See, we're letting Jesus reign in us. Jesus begins to reign in us to such a degree that He is walking in our walking. He is talking in our talking. That's the divine act. Not me going outside and, oh, I love you, Jesus, for the clouds. I love you, Jesus. Well, who are we? We're humans. We have to get back to being God's image and likeness, to let God do that in us. And that's why He says this. Louisa says this, my I love you follows you everywhere, in the steps you take in me walking, in the words you speak in me speaking, in the wood you hammer, in the wood that I'm hammering. And while you hammer the wood, may your hammer hammer the human will, that it may be undone, and your most holy divine will may rise again, not only in me, but in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners, in the midst of the souls from Adam to the last person, every human being, hammer the divine will, that it's no longer in charge. But you, Jesus, are in charge. You are praying in my praying. You are Lord. You are gazing in my gazing. You are listening in my listening. You are dancing in my dancing. You're singing in my singing. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. And again, this intimacy that God is calling us to really begins with our acceptance of His proposal. This is why we buy the wedding ring. We wear it. Why? We wear it because Jesus came to earth for a bride, His bride. And He's going to marry the church. We're going to be one with Christ collectively, but individually as well. What Jesus says to you, He doesn't say to me. My fingerprints, my irises, my height, my weight is completely different from everybody else's. Why? God loves our uniqueness. He loves us so much that He is going to speak to us in the way He can only speak to us, the way He formed us. And He said to Louisa, I'm going to make a divine masterpiece out of every human being. What he's looking for is the fiat. Let it be done to me as you say. That total surrender. That's what Our Lady did. When the Lord came to Our Lady and said to her through the holy angel, you're going to be the mother of God, basically. She says, how can this be? I want to please God in all things, but I do not know man. And the angel said it would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, let it be done to me as you have said. And that's the same thing here. We say to Jesus, in all that we're going through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering that we're going through, we say to Jesus, this is what you want. You are God. You know what I'm going through, but I trust you. You must know that I need this. You must know that this cross that you have given me is my life, that you have planned from the beginning of time. You know, we just read yesterday, if you're reading the calendar, it says the cross. If God did not give us a cross, He does not love us. Why? Well, what is this cross? It's Jesus is the one who has suffered the most. Mary, perfect mother of God, she had the seven sorrows pierce her heart, which Jesus says is more than seven sorrows. It's infinite. She knows everything that we're going through. And she's suffering for us. And the thing is, what Jesus is looking for is He's saying, this cross that I have given you, this life that I have given you, is mine. And people take their crosses, what Jesus says, some people drag it behind them and complain and are angry and are upset. Other people embrace the cross and kiss the cross and say, this is what you have given me, fiat. And Jesus said yesterday, if you read, He said, the calendar, He says, if God didn't give you the cross, He really doesn't love you. See, when we get to heaven, this is what the saints have said. The crosses that we have are going to be magnified in glory. Whatever scar you have on earth, when you get to heaven, is going to be it's going to be glorified in heaven. And again, that's not only physical scars, but emotional scars, spiritual scars. And sometimes the spiritual scars are more difficult, more painful. When Jesus got to the point, his most sorrowful cross, or I should say suffering that he had, was when the Father abandoned him. God died. A God who cannot die, died. And that's what the saints say we're going to see when we get to heaven. We're going to see a crucified God who did not have to do this, but he loves us so much that he died for us. So when we have a suffering, we say to Jesus, "You're going to come down from the cross just for a minute. Just let me take your place just for a minute. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Let me just take your place for a minute." Why? Because I love you. God is what Jesus is showing. The human will is so against God. And that's why it says, hammer that wood. Hammer the human will, that it may be undone. That your most holy divine will may rise again, as God originally planned in Adam, in the midst of creatures. It's a whole new beginning. Now, when you think about it, Our Lady of Revelation appeared to Bruno exactly 40 days after Luisa died. Our Lady descended to earth on 40 days after Luisa died. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. You can see this exchange. It's the breathing, if you want to say. Breathing out, breathing in. Our Lady came to earth, and what did she say to Bruno? She said to Bruno, "Time has now come to an end." 72 years ago, Our Lady said, "Time has now come to an end." It's not the end of the world. It's the end of Lucifer and his reign. Why do you think everything's falling apart? God has to, he's saying to us, who is with me, who's against me? Who's with me, you're going to go to heaven. Who's against me, you have to go to hell. This is what you're choosing. When you're worried, when you're fearful, when you're anxious, when you're complaining, when you're negative, Jesus says, you are anticipating hell. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, he says, you are anticipating heaven. How can you be happy? Jesus shows Luisa, the only way to happiness is holiness. As we become really Catholic again, using especially confession, the sacrament of confession as the sacrament of healing, what's happening is we are entering back into this holiness that God has called us to. As we pray the rosary, we begin to see Jesus through the Blessed Mother's eyes. When we go to Holy Mass and are in the state of grace, we receive Jesus and we become more like him. Why? He says to Luisa, to get ready for the perennial communion with God, where we will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening, as Adam did before the fall. So he says very, very clearly, so that the divine will may rise again in the midst of human creatures. Volume 29, 424, 1920, 1931. Now, if the creature makes her round, again, praying in the rounds, in the created things, and places her love, she places her own and takes our divine love and makes new love arise. This is new divine love that arises, to wait for her again in order to receive and to give its love. See, what's happening is we're entering into that communion with God. God breathes into us. We breathe in this I love you. We breathe out this divine I love you back to God. And he gives new divine love to breathe in us again, to give. It's never the same. It's more and more intense. It's more and more beautiful. It's that's why Our Lady said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." How can a human magnify God? It's the divine will. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to magnify the love of God. We breathe it in, we breathe back out that divine love. He makes more divine love arise in us, and we breathe that back out. And so it continues. So what happens is, he says, so an exchange takes place, and a contest between God and man, between created things and the creature. That uniting together gives love, adoration, and glory to our supreme being. So, again, this round of created things. We see the I love you of God in the leaves of the trees. We hear the I love you of God in the leaves of the trees. We smell the I love you of God in the leaves of the trees. That's just one aspect. And what happens is, uniting that together, God then receives all the glory, all the love, all the adoration that God so rightly deserves. He deserves divine love. And that's why he says, human love is fickle. He says, I want you to be in my image. I want you to be in my likeness, to experience divine love. See, what's happening is the saints learned how to do the will of God. The saints came to God with a human sanctity. And Jesus said to Louisa, I'm done with that. Now I want you to enter into a divine sanctity. To give what? Uniting together to give divine love, divine adoration, divine glory back to the Lord God Almighty. Vine 29:5-27, 1931. My little being is nothing other than one single act of divine will. Okay. Yesterday in the readings, calendar, Jesus showed that we're all one. We're one. This is the bride he's going to marry. Yet we're individuals. And what he's going to do is he's going to marry us collectively. And Our Lady said to Louisa, I'm going to tell you a secret of how to live in the divine will. Our Lady said to Louisa, act as if it was only you and Jesus on the earth. When you begin to live that way, what happens is you begin to fall in love with God. You begin to experience the love of God. And when you're always in communion, you're always talking to God. From the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, you're always talking to Jesus. And the I is not there anymore. The me is not there anymore. The mine is not there anymore. It's Jesus. What are we going to do today? Jesus, what would you like to have for lunch today? Jesus, where do you want to go today? It's what happens is you enter into this proposal of Jesus. You accept it. You accept his proposal, and you're getting ready for the mystical marriage. Now, the mystical marriage is only for saints. None of us are saints. But Louisa possessed it. And if we're linked to Louisa, Jesus says we can also have this. Not on our accord, but because of Louisa, this little newborn. So Jesus says this to Louisa. Louisa says this, O holy will of God, O holy volition, you be the life. You be the actor. You be the spectator of all my acts, so that every thought, every word, every deed, all of them will rise again in you, and they may be the call of all the acts of all human beings, past, present, and future, to make them all rise again in your fiat. Why? So that its kingdom may be extended in all human beings. Do you see what Jesus is doing? If we link ourselves to Louisa and work with Louisa, the kingdom is going to be coming to earth. The devil has to go back to hell. Heaven's coming to earth. He's already been banished from heaven. He'll be banished from earth. This is our role. God predestined us to live this, to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It is the fulfillment of the Our Father. And if you listen to Archbishop Pichieri in the Dawn of a Mystery, he says, this is Louisa's job. No human being was given this job. It is Louisa's job to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus is saying to us, I'll give you everything I gave to Louisa, as much as you want or as little as you want. He says to us, I'm giving you the book of heaven. And through this giving of you the book of heaven, as you read this, as you study this, as you begin to live this, you can possess it 30, 60, or 100 fold, whatever you want. But while Louisa said, I was doing this, the thought told me, what is the good that I do by calling the acts of creatures to rise again in the divine will? You have to remember, every question that Louisa has is our questions. At the end of her life, she said to Jesus, I'm so sorry, I questioned everything over and over and over. Jesus said, you questioned nothing. It's those that would read the volumes. I gave them their questions to you, Louisa. And you asked the question for them, and I gave you the answer to write down on paper so that they will have their answer. What does that mean? Every question that you have of the divine will is answered. As you read, as you study, as you put this into practice. So here's one of our questions. What is good of what I do by calling the divine will, calling the acts of the creature to rise again in the divine will? What good is this? And Jesus, my lovable Jesus, told me, and this is to us, my daughter, good is not subject to dying. And as the life of good rises, it places itself as defense of all creatures. And if the creatures who are disposed, then that's hopefully us, take that good, they not only remain defended, but take the life of that good, and the good rises, listen to this, and forms as many other lives, this is all over the world, for as many creatures who take it. So like I said, as you begin to pray in the divine will, especially your rounds, somebody in China begins to live this. Somebody in India begins to live this. See, God is going to do this for those of good will, those of God's will. And that's Christmas. Peace on earth. The peace of Jesus, the peace of Mary is on earth for those of God's will. The lie of Lucifer is peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's a lie. It's peace on earth to men of God's will. Why are the children of the divine will so happy? Jesus is with us. Mary is with us through Louisa. And it's not only peace, it's joy. And Jesus says, I give you my joy that your joy may be complete. So this is what happens. For as many creatures who take it, listen to this, and the good rises and forms many other divine lives for as many souls who want it. And for those who are not disposed, it remains always as their defense while waiting for them to dispose themselves. The acts done in my most holy divine will acquire the seed of light, and just as the light, though one has the virtue of giving light to an eye, that it may want the good of the light in order to make it its own. The same for the littlest acts done in my most holy divine will. Every blink of your eye, every time you blink in the divine will, things are changing worldwide. Why do you think everything's happening in the church, in the world, in our nation? People are screaming, we want to kill children even when they're born. What is going on? Everybody's getting on their side. What side are you on? Are you on the side of the Lord, of life, of love, of light? Or are you on the side of the evil one, of death? It's, you know, when a demon appears, he's ugly and he's screaming and he smells. Why? He's dead. Eternally dead. Living dead. We shouldn't be scared of them. You just say, get away. I have nothing to do with you. My life is Jesus. My life is Mary. The new Adam and the new Eve. I have nothing to do with you. You're going to find some things that are going to be really amazing. So it says, the same for the littlest acts done in my divine will. Since it is immense, this is the divine will, and envelops everyone and everything, The littlest acts, the blinking of an eye, become light, divine light, and defense of every human being, past, present, and future. How can that be? Because it's Jesus blinking in our blinking. God is doing it, not us. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Breathe in my breathing. I don't want to breathe anymore. Beat in my heart beating. I don't want my heart beating anymore. You know, blink in my blinking. I don't want to blink anymore. I want you, Jesus, to be the Lord of my life in every aspect. Not only this, but it requites the Greek, its creator of the love, the divine glory, the divine adoration that by right God expects, God demands from us, his creatures. He wants us to be in his image and likeness. He doesn't want human blinking anymore. He wants divine blinking. Do you see what God's doing? The acts done in my most holy divine will have always something prodigious. And of their own, they say, listen to this, we are the defense of everyone and everything. We remain between heaven and earth to defend the creatures with our divine light. We are the light of every mind. We're not going to think humanly anymore. You're going to think from the divine perspective, from Jesus' perspective. We are the defenders of our Creator by repairing for Him everything and everyone with our perennial acts for all the offenses that have risen from earth from the beginning of time to the end of time. Everything's being repaired. Everything's being restored. And you don't have to get into conflict with any human being. What did Our Lady do? She was alone in prayer. That's not lonely. And that's what Jesus is going to teach us. Even at the cross, she was silent in prayer. In her great sorrow, watching her son die, she was filled with joy. What's that joy? It's confidence in God, trust in God, hope in God. Christian hope is certitude. Centuries and centuries shall pass, and the time shall come in which all the good that I, God, did shall have the divine life in the midst of creatures. What is not taken today, other creatures may take tomorrow. Hopefully that's us in other epochs. Therefore, see, this is going to continue. See, we have to remember what's coming is a day is going to be like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is going to be like a day. Somebody said to me the other day, when's the 1,000-year reign going to happen? I said, that's just the first day. That 1,000 years is one day. Do you see what God is doing? We're going back to be one with God as He planned. Therefore, the true life of the good does not tire of waiting. And with an air of triumph, they say, we are not subject to dying. Therefore, with certainty, the time shall come in which we shall give our fruits and shall make many other divine lives that resemble us, triune God, rise again. God is alive in us. God has plans. He loves us so much that He has given us the book of heaven. Volume 29, 7:13, 1931. And just as the human will formed the war to wage against God who had created mankind, not only this, but it broke the accord, the order, and the peace. So my most holy divine will, with divine strength of its divine omnipotence reigning in the creatures, will convert what the creature does into divine bonds of accord, divine bonds of order, divine bonds of peace, and divine bonds of love. We re-enter into the life of God. We're not supposed to live like this. This is not what God wanted. And that's why He says to Louisa, everything's going to begin again. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said, time has now come to an end. This era is over. The new era has begun. How did it begin? 40 days after Louisa died. And now that her body is moved to the chapel of the Holy Spirit, everything's ready. Watch what God's going to do. So from her, this is Luisa, comes out as though little white cloud that's surging. This is Luisa. Spreads and rises up to the divine throne and bursting into many voices for as many acts that Luisa has done. It says, great God, peace I, Luisa, bring to you from the earth. And you, Lord, give me your peace to bring it as a bond of peace between you and the human generation. Everything's being restored. This little cloud, Luisa, ascends and descends. Luisa descends and ascends. And see, it's the breathing again. It's the waves against the shore. And does the office of peacemaker between heaven and earth. This is another title of Luisa, peacemaker between heaven and earth. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.